Let's turn to the message three, message two. Let's read the message title together. Learning to live in union with Christ, receiving the word of Christ. What we covered yesterday was concerning the peace of Christ. And Christ on the cross, he accomplished both the vertical peace and the horizontal peace. So it's wonderful that his death has made peace between us and God, has reconciled us to God. We were enemies, but we were reconciled through his death. And Christ on the cross also slayed the enmity between all of us, broken down the middle wall of partition between all kinds of people. Today we can have such a peace, and we need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our hearts. This morning we come to the word of Christ. Maybe we can, I think this sheet is really convenient. Maybe we can open this sheet and read chapter 3, verse 16. That's what we will cover this morning. Chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. Amen. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ, of course, are the words that are spoken by Christ. And we see that in the Gospels, the Lord himself spoke the word directly. So those words, they are the words of Christ. Among the Christians, there are some understanding that only those that recorded as the Lord speaking, they are the words of Christ. I don't know whether if you have King James Bible, you know, they are the Bible in red letter. And some Christians, they consider only those are the words of Christ. But that's not true, you know. That's not true. Because in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, it mentioned that God, in many portions and many ways, having spoken of old, in many portions and many ways, having spoken of old to the fathers in the prophets, has at last of these days spoken to us in the Son. So God is speaking today in the Son. But this Son is not just the individual Son. This Son, through his death and resurrection, he has become the corporate Son. He has brought up many sons. So the many sons with this unique Son, who is our elderly brother, is the Son. So God not only spoke to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Gospels, but also in the following books, in Acts, in the Epistles, and also in Revelation, spoke through the apostles and the prophets. So the whole New Testament is God speaking in the Son. But even that's not all. Today, many of us, we got saved through God's word, right? But who spoke those words to us? The brothers or the sisters, they preached the gospel to us. They spoke God's word. So those were God speaking. That's how we can be regenerated. So God speaking today is in the Son, not only just includes the gospels, not only includes the rest of the New Testament books, but also including the words that we have received and we speak. And those are the words also, the words of Christ. So the word of Christ, we need to have the proper understanding. Otherwise, some Christians, they just limit it to those red letter in the gospels. So we need to see that the word of Christ today is very inclusive. So we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. This dwell in the original word means to inhabit, to be in a house. So the words we receive, we need to let the word in us have more room, has more freedom, has more liberty, has more right to do whatever he wants to do. So some of you may wonder, this word can indwell in us, it must be something living. If you read a ministry portion, you will see that it's not just a kind of memorization, you know, in your mind, but it has to be something more inward that is in you, even become part of you. That's why we use the word constitution, you know. So it's not just in the mind, but it's constituted in you. Sometimes, you know, you may just spontaneously say something, and without pull out your memory card to speak it. So the word has to be something subjective, inward to us, to be to dwell in us. So this is a little different from this is very different from the memorization. Brother Lee used the example of food. You know, the food we eat, they dwell in us because it gives nourishment, strengthens us, supplies us. So these are the kind of words that we need to let it dwell in us richly. So this is the indwelling word of God. This is not just a kind of word in our memory. Then some of you may wonder, why we ask everybody to memorize the verses? Because there are people, they are, you know, they know all the verses. I met a brother before, and but when I talk to him, whenever I have one verse, he has five. He can beat me up. And I cannot have fellowship, you know. I'm always, you know, say something, then he comes up with something else. So that kind of words, you know, it's in his memory, but it's not really indwelling there. Because he doesn't have much room. He just wants to do whatever he wants. He wants to beat you up. He wants to, you know, he wants to show you that, you know, you don't know. He knows it. But, you know, today, we want the word to be living.
Amen.
We want the word to dwell in us. You know, the word in the Bible is very rich. You know, it has its functions. You know, the function of the words, you know, it nourishes us. You know, that's why the Lord Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceed out of the mouth of God." These are the living words. That's why, you know, when the Lord was tempted, the words comes out, right? Because he was nourished. So it shows, even when the Lord Jesus was younger, he was reading the word, and the words was not just in his memory, but also was constituted into him. That's why we still encourage, you know, all the young people, and even in this training, everyone to memorize the verses. You know, when you are young, you have three things, which some of us, we already don't have that. The first thing is, you are young. You know? So we are, you know, if, once you pass that age, you know, you cannot go back. And the second thing is, you have good memory. You know, I was coming up with some college saying, you know, I memorized, they memorized, somehow I lose words. They got it. I didn't get it. They got 1, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 2. 1, 2. What's the third one? So you have good memory. That's why it's important that you use your memory now to memorize the verses. Otherwise, you memorize many other things, you know. You got a lot of things in your mind, cloudy all your mind, your thoughts, you know. So it's better to have the words, to memorize the verses. Then later on, you know, when you need it, but we should not trust our memory. we should still, that's why we want to have the prayer reading, you know. Yeah. So the words will be living, will be life to you.
Yeah.
And the third thing is, you're more flexible.
When we are older, we're not so flexible.
So I just want to encourage all you young ones still to memorize the outlines, the verses, that the word not necessarily dwell in you richly, but keep in your memory. And later on, when you need to use it, and it will be available to you. So the words are, they are supply life to us. Life supply to us. They are also living water to us. They can quench our thirst. You know, Peter said, as newborn babes, long for the guileless milk of the word.
Amen.
So if we can, our thirst can be quenched by the word. And the words also function as light. They enlighten us. They can direct us. You know, the entrance of the word gives light. And the word of the Lord is a lamp to our feet and the light to our path. A lamp, you know, to see something close, but a light to something farther. So we need the word to direct us.
Amen.
A brother was telling me that he had question about whether to take a job or not. But at that time we were reading in Luke, and there was a verse during the last final days he was tempted, and somebody tempted the Lord with a coin of whether to pay tax to Caesar or not, and the Lord asked for a coin, and make the long story short, that you know, the Lord said, whatever that which is Caesar's, render to Caesar; whatever is God, render to God. So once the brother read the verse, he became clear, you know, what should he do, you know, concerning the job, because the job was very demanding. Even whatever is God is going to take it. So he just dropped the job. So the word has many functions. So we need the words to dwell in us richly and to function in us. So the word is our food, is our milk, drink, is our life, is our strength. There are many other aspects of the words, but these are just some basic functions of the word. In this verse, it mentioned about let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Maybe we can read the outline together. Roman numeral 1, concerning our living in union with Christ in Colossians. Paul tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Yeah, this is Colossians 3:16. A. The word of Christ is the word spoken by Christ. Yeah. So we covered this already. B. We need to be filled with this word, meaning that we should allow the word of Christ to dwell in us, to inhabit us, and to make home in us. 1. For the word dwell in us richly means it has adequate room in us to permeate and saturate our entire being. 2. It is crucial for us to let the word of Christ enter into us, dwell in us, prevail in us, and replace our concepts, opinions, and philosophies. So the verses here is the entrance of your word gives light. So, you know, we were born with a lot of concepts, you know. Our environment, living environment, when your friends, when you're with the friends, your friends' concept rub into you, you know. Or you're in school, you know, the professors, you know, the books, the magazines, everything you read, pretty much constitute your concepts, your thoughts, and it also governs your judgment. All this, you know, you may not be conscious, but it's working in you. There was a sister I'm not talking about politics. He was in the there was a woman's movement, and she also went there. She's a sister, really loved the Lord, you know, but unconsciously, you know, because everybody in her school has that kind of concept, you know, men and women are equal. I don't mean it's not equal, okay? We understand. But she has that concept, you know, we need to fight for the rights, okay? But, you know, that thing is unconsciously working in her, you know. But if you read the word, yes, you know, there is an aspect of, you know, husband loves the wife, wife submit to the husband. But Brody also shared that the husband should, by submitting, loving the wives, okay? So it's not something, a kind of regulation. It's something life. It's something organic. But on the other hand, in God's administration, there is the matter of God's arrangement. Man is created first, not woman. So if we don't have the word, we will pick up a lot of different concepts. How did you do with all these concepts? We have to let the word come in. When the word, you receive the word, you read the word, and the word will work in you. But it's organic. It's not something, you know, forceful, you know. That's why we say the word is kind of like nourishment. It comes into us, it nourishes us, it's metabolic. It's supplying you, at the same time it's discharging some negatives out of your being. So when we give more room to this word, let the word abide in us, to have the freedom, to have the liberty, and the word will automatically work in us, just like the food, you know. I think everybody had a good breakfast this morning, and sitting here refreshed, right? Because the food you ate is working in you. So we need to let the word dwell in us. Amen. And work in us. Yeah. And to renew our mind, to change our concept, our thoughts, our philosophy, and this way, the word can dwell in us richly. So we need to give the room to the word. Maybe you can read the next one. We just read B2. Here says, we need to pray, Lord Jesus, I'm willing to let go of my concept. I want your word to have in me. Okay, we just read it. But right now, I want everybody to make this your prayer, okay? Let's read it one more time, but it's your prayer to the Lord. You're not just reading as kind of we everybody read together. Make this your prayer that you want to open to the Lord, okay? Okay, let's read it individually to the Lord. Say, I need to pray. Then you say it, okay? I need to pray. Lord Jesus, I am willing to let go of my self. I want your word to have ground in me. Yeah. Recently, a brother fellowship with me. His son, every time when something happened, he is not able to choose what he wants to choose. So he always choose the wrong, makes the wrong decision. So he comes to me and we have some fellowship. We come to the conclusion it's because that a lot of time, you know, the enemy works in us also. The enemy works in us without our permission. He will do it. But God is a real gentleman, you know. Unless you let him do it, tell him, Lord, I will let you do it. He will not do it. That's why we need to pray the preventive kind of prayer, you know. Say, Lord Jesus, that's why the prayer here, Lord, I'm willing to let go of my concept. So when time comes, you have the concept, but you give the Lord ground, the Lord will come in, and discharge the old concept you have in your mind. And at the same time, the words in you will strengthen you.
Amen.
So you will be able, suddenly one day you will find out, hey, I'm doing what I wasn't doing before. Why? Because you let the Lord have the ground. You let Him have the ground, and His words also in you strengthen you. So, for the you know, this is not just for individual, personal Christian living. This is for the body, you know. And in fact, I like this title when we're fellowshipping, learning to live. You know, it's a living. When we have a daily practice to read the Word, to enjoy the Word will work in us automatically. You will be surprised. You know, I'm surprised sometimes. You know, I prayed a prayer, I forgot, and then suddenly it started working. Then I remember I prayed a prayer. So I have to tell the Lord, Lord, thank you. Thank you, you are doing what I cannot do. So we need to let the word of the Lord work in us, abide in us, inhabit us. Okay, let's read C. We need to pray, read the word, receiving the word of God by means of all prayer and petition. Yeah, this point I just want to mention a few things, small matter. Before this session, we had the personal time, right? And I walked, and I see some of you were sitting there. Some of you may not be used to this, but this is very important, very profitable. That's why we want this one week together to have this session, that you have a taste, and then you are starting to build up the habit to have your personal time with the Lord. And this personal time, because here, you know, we are still, you know, so many people, and there are people walking around, it's easy to be distracted. So it is important when you go back, you know, find a place that is by yourself, then so you won't be distracted. And also, it takes practice that when you do it, even if there's some other things, you won't be distracted. Recently, I asked a brother in full-time training, and I said, "What's your personal time with the Lord?" He said, "Good." I said, "Where you do it?" And he said, "I do it in the closet." I guess full-time training has a closet. That's a good place. You know? Because the closet is not small, so it's not like the closet here. So you can go in, you can still close the door, and you can spend time. That's good, because you have no distraction. You are there, you know, and it's scripture. And in Matthew, you mentioned about, you know, when you pray, you know, go to your closet, okay? You know, there are different translations. In King James, it says your closet. The Recovery Version says the inner chamber, or, you know, private room or something. But find a place that you are by yourself. And the other thing is, I see some of you were doing the verse, but try to do it with a voice, with a voice. Because if you just read it, thinking in your mind, that doesn't work that well. Because your mind is always, sometimes, you know, your thought. Suddenly you are back to school. Or you are at home. So you have to how about that? Or say something that you can hear, nobody else can hear. Say, "Lord Jesus, I love you." Okay? Try it. Okay. Yeah, you need to, when you have personal time, you need to, you know, when you are, when there are other people, you know, then you need to speak in this way, you know. Once you speak it, you know, speaking makes a lot of difference. The old creation came into being through God speaking. And that new creation is the same. So we need to say something, speak something. But, you know, because the environment, speak in a small voice, as long as you can hear. You know, a lot of time I can hear my voice, but nobody else can hear. I'm praying, but nobody else can hear. So do it in that way, then you can touch the Lord. And the other thing is just be genuine. You know, we don't need to make up something. Just be genuine. And also, you know, when you use the sheet, you don't need to finish the whole thing. Okay? As long as you contact the Lord. You touch the Lord. Even if you just have one one sentence or one verse, that's good enough. Okay? Don't try to finish. Oh, I need to finish. We are not reading the Bible. We are just use the verses, contact the Lord. Okay, I stop here. Amen.
Amen. Well, I know a lot of you, but there's quite a few that I don't know. And so, just an introduction. My name is Floyd McNutt. I have two boys, Jonathan and Stephen. One graduated from the University of Michigan, and the other one's at Michigan State. Amen. Dave Olson was there at Michigan State when he was just our boys were little ones. And then my wife, Carolyn's here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when I mention Michigan, I always think of the, like Marty said, the Big Ten. And I'm just dreaming that next year there'll be someone here from each of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have someone from Indiana here? Right? How about Penn State? Where are the Saints from Penn State? You know? So all the Big Ten. Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Northwestern. All the Big Ten. You know, right now I work at the University of Michigan, and so a lot of times we'll hear about, you know, there are competition, right? All the Big Ten. And other times we'll hear we're in collaboration, you know. So it's really interesting being in the realm of the Big Ten. But today, we're here, hallelujah, enjoying Christ, our portion.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're learning.
Amen.
We are learning.
Amen.
To live in union with Him.
Amen.
You know, it was, to some of you it might seem prehistoric, but it was in 1975 when when I came to the Divine and Mystical Fishing Pond in Cleveland, Ohio. And there was a brother in my class, freshman in my class. And so how I got captured, this brother sitting next to me in between class, he would open up his Bible and read it. And he would preach the gospel to the kid sitting next to him. Because he was a clean-cut kid. I had real long hair. I wore some funny clothes. And so he would preach the gospel to the clean-cut kid sitting next to him. And then I asked him, so where do you go to church? And he wanted to explain to me, well, you don't go to church, you know, the people are, I said, but you go somewhere. So he said, he didn't want, because I wasn't getting his explanation. So he just kind of, and then he continued talking to the kid next to me. So then it came to Thanksgiving weekend. I went home and, there was a friend that I was growing up with. He went to a Baptist church, and so I went and tried to find him, but he wasn't home. So I knew he must be at the Baptist church, so I thought I'd just go there and wait for him till it's over. But they were preaching the gospel. Any time I went there before, they never preached the gospel, and so I received the Lord.
Amen.
That's in Akron, New York. For all the ones in Ohio, that's Akron, New York. It's not Akron, Ohio. And so then when I came back, I said, so you got to tell me where you go to church, right? Because I'm in Cleveland now. I'm not there in Akron. And he says, well, last weekend we had a Thanksgiving conference, and so I didn't get to see my folks. So this weekend I'm going to see my folks, and so can you come next weekend? I said, no. Just give me the address. So that was my entrance into the church. Hallelujah. And some of you may know Jerry Mickle. He's quite gifted with the guitar, but it was through him in my class that I came into the church. You know, so I'm not sure how I got this portion, but because it starts with, we need to sing, read the word. And if I'm to sing, You might consider it a noise. But to me, it's a joyful noise.
Amen.
Amen. And to the Lord is also a joyful noise.
Amen.
Anyone singing to the Lord, that's a joyful noise to the Lord. I've been with many saints throughout the years, and sometimes, to me, it was just a noise. Right? If someone's sitting next to me and they can sing, then I can sing with them because I can at least tune in. I can't carry a tune by myself, but I can kind of. But there's some that no matter how much you try to help them, they can't carry a tune. But this is a joyful noise to the Lord.
Amen.
So when you're sitting next to someone like that, just say, Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
This is a joyful noise to you.
Amen.
Like, in this verse, here it says, Colossians 3:16. Let's all read that again together.
Let the word
of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. So, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then it says, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So the teaching, like the song that we were singing, it's teaching us. It's admonishing us, right? And so it's teaching and admonishing us with the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So this is a hymn. When we sing this, I was being shepherded, right? I was being taught. It says, one of the ones here is, once it was a feeling, now it is the Lord, right? Now it is His Word, right? Sometimes we may go, well, I feel like the Lord wants me to do something. Or I feel like I should say something. But once you have His Word dwelling in you, then you can speak according to His Word, not just according to your feeling, right? And then, also in here, all in all, forever, only Christ I'll sing. Wow. Only Christ I'll sing. You know, when I was 18, they didn't have CDs and MP3 players. We had these 8-track tape cassette players, and I had quite a collection. Right? And I would listen to all these songs. But when I came to this song, it says, Only Christ I'll Sing. Wow. I threw away all those songs. I didn't sell them. I just threw them away. I just said, forget this. Only Christ I'll Sing. Because Christ was becoming so precious to me. So when we're singing to one another, we can be, what does it say? Here it says, teaching and admonishing, right? I felt like I was being admonished, right? Only Christ I'll sing, yet I enjoyed singing all those songs. So the Lord was the one admonishing me. I was enjoying the song, but the Lord was admonishing me.
Amen.
And so there's many ways to receive the word of Christ. So singing is one of them, right? Even sing read, right? The outline says, we need to sing read the word, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom by singing. So some of you may have put some verses to tunes, and so maybe some can sing us a verse. There's one, I hope it's not too painful for you, but I'd like to sing a couple verses to you that some of you may have heard this tune, but probably not too many. It's possible though. Let's see, after the Peter training in the Midwest, we had a little conference and we sang, let me just make sure I get the verses. Yeah, 2 Peter. After the 2 Peter training, Marty, were you there? Where's Marty? Were you there in the Midwest time after 2 Peter? Okay. at least he's not admitting to it. All right. So, and this verse is quite something in 2 Peter, because it helps us in our pursuit of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. And I hope I can somewhat carry a tune on this one. If someone knows this, they could come up here and help me. Does anyone remember singing 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8? No? If... Right. Okay, right, this is talking about He granted to us precious and exceedingly great promises. Through these you might become partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
So if you're going to be a partaker of the divine nature, there's some things that need to happen, right? And so it starts with verse 5. And for this very reason also, adding all diligence, supply bountifully in your faith virtue, and in virtue knowledge, and in knowledge self-control, and in self-control endurance, and in endurance godliness, and in godliness brotherly love, and in brotherly love. For these things existing in you and abounding constitute you neither idle nor unfruitful unto the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I really enjoy singing that one, but as you can see, it's a joyful noise to the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, I'm sure there's others that have some, we were singing the one this morning from 1 John, right? Hallelujah. In Him, there's no darkness at all. And so, as time allows, maybe some can sing theirs more musically inclined, can help us. Amen. So, in E, it says, when the element of Christ has been infused into us by our singing and psalming the Lord, and psalming the Word, we live Christ spontaneously and automatically.
Amen.
You know, to change our concept, to change our culture, it only comes by abiding in the Word, taking in the Word. And as we sing it, then the Lord is able to change us. You know, apart from the Word, what do we have? We have culture. And this is what happened to the ones in Colossae. Eventually, some were imposing their culture. They were replacing Christ with their culture, saying, this is the way, right? Because everyone in their culture feels their culture is best. And so, my way is the best, right? And some who are more strong, they're imposing their culture. But the Apostle Paul, he's coming back with Christ is best.
Amen.
Christ is all-inclusive.
Amen.
We need to learn Christ.
Amen.
So as we take Him in, whether by singing, by prayer reading, then our living is changed, and we spontaneously and automatically live out Christ. In point F, as we allow the Word of Christ to inhabit us, we do all things in the name of the Lord. So, in verse 17, let's all read verse 17 together. All together, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
Amen.
So to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, that's what we need is just the person, right? To do it in the name means to do it in the person. So let's read point one together. The Word of Christ is actually the embodiment of Christ. Whosoever knows John 1:14, let's recite it together. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And His glory, glory as of an only begotten from a Father, full of grace and reality. So that this Christ, who's the Word, He became the Word, right? The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And it's full of grace and reality. So then, let's go on to point two. Read that together. When the Word as the embodiment of Christ is mingled with our inner being, inwardly we are one with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So in John 1:14, it said He tabernacled among us. But in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Amen.
So now He is not just among us, right? But He is one with, we are one with Him. We are one spirit with Him. So then, now the Lord is mingled with us. So how do we have a living one with Him? We need more of His Word. We need more of this living Word abiding in us, right? And then point three, because the Lord has saturated us. Let's all read that together. Start in verse point three together. Because the Lord has saturated us, permeated us, and mingled Himself with us, making us one with Him, we can do all things in His name. Right? If we're not mingled with the Lord, if we don't have His Word saturated in us, we're going to be doing things according to our culture, according to what our fathers handed down to us. You know, even in one verse it says, according to the vain manner of life handed down to us from our fathers, right? So it's, what's the vain manner of life? It's just a life without Christ. It's a life without Christ. That's handed down from your fathers. You know, when I was growing up, my father, in one sense, it was like, you spare the rod, you spoil the child, right? And so, sometimes after a little bit of the rod, then he would give me a lecture. Don't you know that when I messed up on the farm, my dad, you know? So it was handed down from the father. Because on the farm, there's a lot of work to do. And sometimes, you know, when you're a young boy, you like to do things other than work. And so sometimes get in trouble. Anyhow, that was handed down from the father. But I remember one time, you know, going through this in Ephesians and here in Colossians, it talks about the father's relationship with the child. And so this made a big impression on me. And so when dealing with my sons, you know, it's sometimes the rod came when my dad was in a heat of anger. So that was one thing that the Lord impressed on me. If I'm going to discipline the child, it will not be in anger. But first, I need to be in the Lord, right? Otherwise, well, all of you are looking to be mothers and fathers someday, but if you're not saturated with the Word, sometimes the natural man is just going to come out. It's just going to come out. So, one time, I was talking with someone, and I was in a very important conversation, and my son was only, I don't know if he was 4 or 5, he comes over, and he's daddy. So, I asked the person to stop. And so I bent down, picked him up, and just talked to him for a minute. And, you know, in that kind of situation, my dad might have handled it much differently. But I just talked to him for a minute, and then he was fine, and he was on his way. And I remember a sister that was there says, "Wow, you are not like the traditional fathers." And so, and this was a much older sister. so her children were already grown, and so that impressed me that it must have been Christ that was living through me at that moment. Right? Otherwise, I might have reacted differently. And then, so nurturing that relationship with the Father and the Son, right? And here it talks about, in Colossians, the emphasis is that we should live in union with Christ by having His rich Word dwelling in us, that the highest ethical relationships issuing not from our natural life, but from Christ as our life,
Amen.
May be realized for His expression.
Amen.
You know, when Jonathan was in high school, one time several of his friends were over to do a project, and I was just walking through the room to get to another room, and as I was passing through, Jonathan stopped me and he asked me about something, and so we talked about it, and then I continued on my way, and one of his friends said, "Wow, you can talk to your dad?" He said, "My dad and I, we do not get along." And so, you know, it was just a nurturing of the relationship that's not from the natural life, but through a relationship in the Lord. So and that was something that captured me when I came in the church life. As the saints, it was not like back home when, you know, I was not saved, and my dad was not saved. You know, I remember that my mom, since I was a child, she always wanted to read through the Bible, but she'd get into Genesis and start reading some of those names. You know, we'd be reading with us, but we never got even halfway through Genesis, and because of all the names there, right? But that was her desire, so... So later, when my boys were in high school, we just took 10 at 10. Can you believe that? Take 10 at 10. That was to read a chapter, and that was to take care of my mom. My mom wanted to read through the Bible, so with my two boys, we would take 10 at 10 and just read to my mom. And so that helped in our family environment to not live out just in the natural life in our family, but also to bring in the Word into our family, and also to take care of my mom, right? So, hallelujah.
Amen.
As the Word of Christ dwells in us richly, we shall have the proper daily living.
Amen.
This living is in union with Christ and is the practical new man.
Amen.
So whether you're pray reading the Word, whether you're singing the Word, we need to get the Word into us.
Amen.
And hallelujah. Let's read this focus together. For Christ to be expressed in our daily, we must allow His Word to dwell in us by giving the Word the adequate room in our being, and by pray reading and singing the Word. Amen. Does someone have a song to sing? A verse to sing?